Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. This is the 17th episode, I think, so that's cool. Getting up there. Today I'm going to talk about a problem that a lot of people have in intimate relationships, which is that kissing stops. And if you're somebody that this does not apply to, then you will be surprised to learn that kissing frequently stops when there are other issues at play within relationships. And there's people who are still having sex that aren't kissing. And this can be very sad for the many people that that this does resonate with and that know exactly what I'm talking about. So there are many people who want to be kissing in their intimate relationship that are not, and I'm going to disclose some of the reasons why and what you could potentially do about it. So there are many reasons why kissing can stop in a long-term relationship, and there's four main ones that I see, but I could go into depth about some of them. They have many parts. So first one is that one partner, usually the woman, is disappointed in the kissing style of the other partner. So they have really never told the other partner that they don't like how they kiss. So this is particularly true for women who are more sensitive to the disgust response within within sexual encounters, because they have lower overall sex drives within monogamy than men do. So the testosterone, high testosterone, can cure many things. And if a man is disappointed in how his wife kisses, usually he's not like grossed out. He just wishes that she kissed a little different and it's not the biggest deal. But for women, they could feel viscerally disgusted by their partner's kissing style. And, you know, I mean, nobody wants to be grossed out by their partner, so then they stop kissing them because they literally do not know what to do about it. The next reason is that there is a lower libido partner, and this is the one that doesn't like the kissing, and their overall, especially within not the honeymoon stage anymore, in later stages, they get squeamish about a lot of things sexually, and one of them is usually the exchange of bodily fluids and or kissing as a specific outgrowth of that. The third reason of these four is that the couple just isn't in love anymore. And the partner that doesn't want the kissing, or both of them sometimes don't want kissing, because they feel almost like it's faking it. It's faking a romantic connection that they really do not feel, and that makes them feel disingenuous and weird. And then the last reason, and I'm going to go back through all of these and expand on them, but the last reason is that there's a history of trauma, and including childhood sexual abuse, and specifically in this case, sometimes including kissing by the abuser. So if kissing was something done to you when you didn't want it done to you as a child, then, you know, you're going to have, obviously, understandably, real negative associations with kissing that are going to crop up. And in fact, you may have intrusive thoughts of the abuser when kissing. And again, some of this and in the honeymoon stage may not have really mattered to you the same way, because your hormones were racing, adrenaline is pumping. But then after the honeymoon stage fades, that's when the kissing stops, because that's when you kind of go back to a baseline in all of your hormones and your adrenaline, and you're not kind of drunk on new love anymore. And at this point, you again remember that you don't like this, and the abuse comes back into your mind when this happens. When kissing happens, you associate it with all these negative things. So, all right, so let's go through these. So in the first category, one partner's disappointed in the other person's kissing style, but they don't tell them. Now, the quick fix is to tell them and to show them how you like to be kissed. But as I've discussed with other things about women and men in bed, God, it's so unfortunate. Women are so anxious about telling their partner honest negative feedback even if long-term this could help them immeasurably. If you're listening to this and you're a woman who does not like how your husband kisses you, you gotta tell him because he doesn't know and he could learn. Now, men can learn new tricks in bed just like how women can, or like any mammal can learn a new trick with positive reinforcement and real guided concrete teaching. So this means that you have to show your husband how you like to be kissed. You have to say, no, do it like this. You have to say, no, do it like this. And if it's 20 years in and he's like, what do you mean? You don't like how I kiss? You have to say, I like it better like this. And then you have to show him. Now, he's going to lose his erection, but this, I always tell clients, this just means that he's in learning mode. He is in learning mode, and he can't be in learning mode with an erection. So do not let it bother you that he loses his erection because he is learning how to kiss you. Fine, his ego's taking a hit, but his ego's going to be a lot better in the long term because he has learned how to make you not grossed out by his kissing. Now, number two is that the lower libido partner just does not like saliva or lips touching or breath or whatever they decide they don't like, bodily fluids of any sort. They just don't like it anymore. Well, this is unfortunate. This is actually a pretty big red flag in a relationship of, in an early relationship of somebody who's going to not like sex eventually, is somebody that does not like bodily fluids and is squeamish about stuff. So if you are dating somebody and you are, or if you're just not married and you're just listening to Dr. Psych Mom because you are in a relationship that's been going on for a few months and this is your issue, if somebody stops kissing you before you're even married, I mean, bad. No, get out of that. You don't deserve that. If you want to be somebody who's kissing and this person stops kissing you or ever says, ew, gross, then that's bad. Now, there is an exception for that. If somebody says, ew, gross, it's not your favorite thing to hear. But what you should say is, do I smell bad? You know how many women are so sensitive to smell, and so many of them think that the guy has bad breath because he doesn't brush his teeth. This is a thing. Oh my God, this is a thing that I have learned from working for a decade plus in couples counseling, is that some people do not brush their teeth, and a lot of them are men. And once on my page, somebody's like, oh my God, you're infantilizing men by saying that they don't brush their teeth. Girl, I wish I was, but I have heard from too many women. This is never something I've encountered, thankfully, in my own relationships, but it is something I've heard from many women, that the guy stops brushing his teeth. Either he stops twice a day and he only does it in the morning or in the evening. I don't know how he would pick, but he picks. And he doesn't do it anymore. He doesn't brush his teeth. If this is you and you're a man, immediately begin brushing your teeth twice a day and go to the dentist, because if you have not been brushing your teeth for all that time, you likely have gum disease and you do smell bad. So you need to brush your teeth and floss like they tell you, but I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. So if you do not brush your teeth, you must immediately begin to brush your teeth twice a day. It doesn't matter if you're somebody, and this has been said to me in couples counseling, that says, why would I brush my teeth because she won't even kiss me? Then you need to understand what a negative feedback loop is. And it means that maybe she's not kissing you because you don't brush your teeth. And if you brush your teeth, you could intervene in that negative feedback loop, and you would smell nice when she gets near you, because you don't need to be that close to smell bad breath, by the way. And if she starts to smell you and think, oh, he smells good, women are super sensitive to smell, and she will want to kiss you more, maybe. If she still doesn't, we'll get to that. But really, the reason that I just spent like two whole minutes talking about this is because it's super important to brush your teeth if you want to be getting laid. Okay. So anyhow, if you're not the problem, if you do brush your teeth a lot and you smell fine, then she's just squeamish about bodily fluids. She doesn't want to kiss. Oral sex has probably been off the table for longer than you could remember. And overall, your prognosis is not very good for getting kissing back in the repertoire unless you really make it a big deal. And maybe you should, if it is that important to you. Maybe you should say, I do not want to live in a kissless marriage until I die, and we need to go to a sex therapist. She may have some sort of aversion to kissing or bodily fluid that can be really worked on with exposure therapy. You know, it is not a big ego boost to think that a woman might need exposure therapy to kiss you, but it's better than never kissing again. A lot of people that just think they have a low libido actually have more of a sexual aversion disorder, which means they're scared of certain sexual things. It has been associated with fear. If you're a super highly sensitive person and you hate fluid, you may have learned to associate kissing with like the fear of a negative sensation. And over time, you can learn and build up your tolerance to kissing. But of course, your partner needs to be on board with this. You should probably be working with a therapist, and you can't just tell them, so what we're going to do in my impromptu exposure therapy session is you're going to kiss me for 10 minutes a day, because they're going to leave you sooner than they do that. And maybe that would be a good thing to happen. Maybe not. We'll go under the assumption of not, if you're listening to this, for ways to fix this problem and you don't just want to leave. So anyhow, she may be squeamish, not a good sign, can potentially be worked on, as I just discussed. Next one is that you guys are just not in love anymore, or your partner that doesn't kiss is not in love with you. Now, this, again, not to beat a dead horse, but couples counseling can really help. A lot of the people I see are not in love anymore, and some of them get there, because in love is not like, you know, it can't be measured by a blood test. It's a very dynamic and ever-evolving concept that can wax and wane based on many variables. And some of them can include if the woman does not feel like you are listening to her, if she feels that you are a tremendous asshole, then she's not going to feel in love with you, and then she's not going to want to kiss you. So that is also a possibility. Same thing with a man. Now, I've been saying woman because all the women, most of the couples that I see, the woman will not kiss, more likely than that the man won't. But in the post that I'm going to link at the bottom of this podcast, I actually read this book, Three Women by Lisa Taddeo, which is really good. It like followed these three different women there in real life. She's a, you know, is a journalist too, but it was written in the style of a novel. These were these three women that were unhappy with their sex lives, and one of them was extremely unhappy because her husband refused to kiss her, and their couples counselor said that it was her problem and she shouldn't be so controlling and difficult, which is why I say that you need a couples counselor that understands the importance of sex and doesn't just talk about emotion all the time. So number three, I just said, is what I also call the divorced in spirit, which is when you're not in love anymore. And so kissing is the canary in the coal mine for that. Number four is when really this one, I mean, I shouldn't have talked too much about therapy before, because this is the one that needs therapy the most. So out of all the couples, if you are somebody who had a history of sexual trauma, and the abuser was somebody who kissed you or did other things that remind you of kissing, or actually your entire sex life is fucked, not just kissing, and you really deserve to be in counseling, because it can help you live the life that you want and tackle some of these sexual issues head on. You do not deserve to live like this, where you continually have intrusive thoughts of your abuser and you're unable to engage in intimacy in a loving relationship because this was stolen from you unfairly when you were young. I mean, that is a tragic situation, but thankfully it is treatable. The sequelae of sexual abuse are treatable. In fact, I used to work with children on this on internship. And if a little child can go through exposure therapy, it's called trauma-focused CBT. It involved actually, they would write little books about what happened to them. And by getting it out there and not having it be so shameful anymore, and drawing pictures even, and then reading it, not just to me, the therapist, but then to a trusted adult, such as a foster parent. These were people in a group home, children in a group home. Or by reading it to even a group home counselor that they trust, they got to share what happened to them, to see that it wasn't shameful, and then to start healing.
Now, in therapy for adults, we do not draw little books unless you want to. But what we do is the same sort of thing. You finally get to talk about some of this stuff that seems like you'll die if you talk about it because it's so terrible and so shameful. But if you do get it out there, then you can begin the healing process. And then you may, in fact, be able to have a really different, intimate life than anything that you envisioned previously. So all of these sorts of people, you know, need to be in counseling and can be in counseling. But particularly if you are somebody who experienced childhood sexual abuse, it is so important and you so very much deserve to be living the life that you want free of this horrible, oppressive burden. So if you do have a partner, by the way, and you know that they suffered childhood sexual abuse, really encourage them to go to treatment because this is so important and it's so important for their mental health, depression, anxiety, PTSD, sleep issues, somatic issues, meaning body issues like chronic pain of any sort. All of this is linked to childhood sexual abuse. So in most cases, it's not that. The no kissing is not related to that, but in some cases it is. And if you know, and if this is you, then you'll know that I'm talking to you and encouraging you really to seek the help that you need and that everybody in your situation deserves to have. So to recap on the kissing, there can be myriad reasons for why kissing stops in your relationship, but none of them really have to be something that you just say, okay, cool, for the next 40 years, I'm not going to kiss. It is very important to understand that physical touch is just as important a love language, if not more important, than the other four, because physical touch is the only one that you can do with nobody but your partner, unless you're non-monogamous. So if somebody just decides to say, no, I don't like kissing, then you should say, well, I want to talk about this more. That's not okay with me. And it's funny because in the case of a woman that isn't getting kissed by her husband, everybody thinks like, oh my God, he's such a cruel asshole. But yet, a lot of women do this to their male partners and nobody says much. So this is kind of interesting, right? Whenever you think that you know the whole way that you're going to view something, just flip the gender and see if you still think about it the same way. Most guys, you know, would not think about the cruelty of a man denying a woman a kiss when they are thinking about their own situation where their wife won't kiss them. But they should. You know what? Because it's the same situation. And as ever, I really encourage you to share this podcast with your partner. If you receive this podcast, it is like you don't need them to say, I don't like kissing you. They're saying it. By sharing with you this podcast, they are saying, I don't like kissing you. And that sucks, but guess what? You already knew, probably. And if you didn't, it's new intel, so fine. And then you can ask, okay, so then which of these things is it for you? And on the other end, if you want to share this podcast with somebody, it's kind of a dick move to just share it with like nothing in the subject heading, nothing in the body of the email, just this link. No, don't do that. That's going to give your partner a panic attack. Say, you know, I was thinking about why we don't really kiss, and I think that it is more, you know, number two, that I find it really hard to be around saliva, but I think that that's pretty weird to say. But, you know, from listening to this, I wonder maybe it's something that I could work on. That would be an email that somebody wants to receive versus the other email, which they have to think, oh my God, what is it? What is it? I thought I brushed my teeth enough. What is it? So that is a wrap on that topic. And if there are other things that you want to know how to communicate to your partner about, other sensitive topics, please do ask me. I love to help. That is my job, helping profession. And hopefully this was useful to you. And I'm not only going to link the one about kissing in this description, but I will also link you to the article that I wrote about whether or not physical touch is actually the most important love language, because that is a real interesting one for you to potentially discuss with your partner if one of you has the physical touch love language and the other one sometimes thinks that this is a stupid one. Spoiler, I don't think it's a stupid one. All right, I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I will talk to you all soon.